And amen. Thank you, worship team. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Amen. That's a pretty powerful statement there, considering that I think sometimes, at least I know it is with me, if I'm not careful, I get bound up in lots of crazy stuff. How about you? And the last thing I'm feeling is the power of the Spirit of the Lord and the freedom that he wants to bring. But the scripture tells us that through the work of his Holy Spirit, through the cleansing work of his Holy Spirit, we'll talk about that a little bit later on, through the growth that we can have by setting down the roots deeply in the Word of God, in the Spirit of God, that we can live our lives in the freedom of God. And I hope that you're doing that today. And we're going to look at the parable of the sower. And really, the parable of the sower is about freedom. And it's not just about your freedom, but it is about the freedom that you allow our Heavenly Father, through the grace of Jesus Christ and through the work of His Holy Spirit, to have access to your life, to give God the freedom to work in you and to do the things that only He can. So if you'd like to turn to Mark chapter 4, it's a rather lengthy passage, and so on our screen today I'm going to have some points and things like that, but if you really want to follow along, you will need to get your Bibles out today. If you don't have one and you would like to follow along, there's one in the pew rack that is right in front of you, so make sure you are ready when we begin to talk about this parable, this story that again gives us some windows into the kingdom of God. I discovered a long, long time ago as a pastor that most people want to have me come and be with them at happy times in their lives, sometimes sad times in their lives, and particularly during times in their lives when they are uncertain and they're not really sure about what is going to happen. But I've also learned over the years that that my presence is not always needed, and sometimes my presence in people's lives cannot be welcome. I thought back to when I was a young pastor, and I was so zealous to be around, especially when people were sick and in the hospital and when they were hurting and things were going on in their lives. And we had some very good friends by the name of Steve and Trish DeRitter. Steve was about 6'7", big guy. Beautiful Christian man, though. So was his wife. His wife played the piano for our worship team and all the things that went on there in our church in Cupertino. And she and Steve ultimately had four kids. And they only had one when we got there, and she got pregnant with their second child. And she went through the whole process, and it came down to the time, and I heard somebody gave me a call and said, Trish DeRitter, she has gone into the hospital, and she's going to be having a baby before too long. And wanting to be zealous and wanting to be there for her, I jumped in the little Honda hatchback that we had and ran over to the Kaiser Hospital, where I knew that she was going to be delivering and giving birth. And went upstairs and found out where the maternity area was, and walked in, and there was her dad. And he said, oh, I'm so glad you're here. Man, Trish, she's going to be having the baby pretty soon. And I said, wow, well, yeah, do you think she would mind if I prayed with her? And he said, no, I think that'd be a great idea. And I couldn't imagine why she was so panicked, or why he was so panicked and so insistent about this. What I didn't know is that Trish had already begun the labor process. She was already in the labor room, and he grabbed me by the hand and took me right into the labor room, and there was Trish sitting there going, and I went, oh Lord, please bless Trish, and I didn't even get it out. She looked at me and she said, amen! Boom, I never ran so fast out of a place in my life. I ran down to the car, got in the car, went and pulled out about three or four blocks and just had to breathe myself to get myself back to normal. You know, sometimes you mean well, and sometimes you're in a situation where you're trying to help, but you realize that maybe your presence is not always needed at that particular time. If something is going to be meaningful, though, we do know this, right? If something is going to be meaningful, it has to be done at the right place and at the right time, with people who are truly ready to receive what it is that you have to give. You may have entered into a situation sometime where you meant well and you were trying to do something good, but for whatever reason, it was the wrong place and it was the wrong time. Sometimes maybe it's with our children. Sometimes it's with our parents. Sometimes it's with friendships. Sometimes it's just with people that we come in contact with. But people have to be truly ready if they're going to receive something that somebody else has to give. Now, this parable that we're going to look at today gives us another important window in how the kingdom of God works. And it's very important for us to realize that there are two sides to responding to God. First of all, there is what God can do and what only God can do. And God tells us through this parable, and indeed all through his scripture, that he is continually sowing the seed of his kingdom into our lives. How many of you know that? Right now, God is sowing the seed of his kingdom, of his salvation, of his sanctification, of the fullness of his spirit, of the service that we are to give to him and to people, of the will and purposes that he has for our lives. God, right now, today, is sowing his seed, the seed of his life, into your life. And only he can do that, and we need to realize that that's his responsibility. I think sometimes we think that what it means to be a Christian is that we've got to try and be better people. I've heard people get caught up in that. Well, you know, now that I've started going to church, I'm just trying to be a better person. You know, but it's much bigger than trying to be a better person. God wants to sow his life into your life, and only he can do that. But there is an equally important thing that has to happen, and that is that we have got to cooperate with the work and the grace of God. The effectiveness of the seed that God is sowing in our life depends on how well prepared the soil of our life is to receive it. And so if your life is receiving the word of God, and it is receiving it gladly. How many of you know sometimes the word of God comes in and it gets a little prickly and it gets a little hard to hear, a little hard to deal with? Even in those times, what is the nature of the soil of your life? And so today, as we look at this parable, this is a parable not just about the freedom that we can have if we have good soil, but it's the freedom that God will have in your life to allow you to be the person that he has always intended for you to be. And that is a person that knows their sins and knows their shortcomings, but has come in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ to give him their lives. And as forgiveness takes place, and as the fullness of the Spirit takes place in a person's life, then what begins to happen is that this soil that we have allowed God to plant his seed in, it begins to grow and it begins to produce good fruit. How many of you want to produce good fruit for God? We all do, don't we? And how many of you sometimes recognize that you don't always produce good fruit for God? That sometimes you fall back and you do things you shouldn't do, and this happens and that happens. Well, I want you to know today that it is important that you can always have your heart prepared for everything that God has for you. So who's responsible for your spiritual life? Well, God is. God is responsible because only he can sow the seed of his kingdom. But you are responsible to make sure that the ground of your life is prepared to receive all that God has. So let's look at the parable this morning, beginning in chapter 4, verses 3 to 8 again. We're going to be looking at that. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles this morning, we'll be looking at the parable first and talking about its word picture for our lives. The picture tells us this, that we are like a field, and this field is plowed, and when the field is plowed, it turns over the soil, and it reveals what kind of soil there is. How many of you feel like you've been plowed in your life? life does that to you, doesn't it? It plows you up. It takes whatever it does, and it plows the field up. But the scripture says that everything that is going on in your life is by the work and the design of God. It doesn't mean that God plans bad and hurtful things for you. It just means that life does what it does. And sometimes life is good, and sometimes life is joyous. Sometimes life is challenging. Sometimes life has suffering. But whatever it is, it's plowing up your field. And as it plows up the field of your life, you've got to realize that you're the dirt. Say that with me this morning. I'm the dirt. One more time. I'm the dirt. All right? So it doesn't mean you're dirty, all right? Just in this particular picture here, you are the dirt. And so there are different types of soil this scripture tells us about as Jesus is telling the story. There is hardpan soil. Hardpan soil, when the plow digs up the dirt, there's some places that it doesn't dig up very well, and it remains hardpan. And so when seed is scattered on hardpan, very easy to see this picture, even though we don't really live in an agrarian culture anymore. When the seed is scattered onto this hardpan, it can't break the surface. And boy, it becomes food for the birds. And the birds come down, and they have a wonderful, wonderful time. But that particular seed never, ever gets anchored in the ground. Now, it says that there is also rocky soil. A lot of times we think maybe that means that there's chunks of rock in the soil. It probably meant something very different. It probably meant that the soil, as it was plowed up, was very, very thin. And really quickly, the plow would hit, usually in this particular area of the world, limestone. And so this thin layer of soil on the limestone would not allow the seed to take root. The seed would get into the ground and it would pop open and it would begin to shoot out the roots, but the roots would never be able to take hold. Now, Jesus says there's also thorny soil, and probably the best word, is the best thing we can think of when we think about thorny soil is that there are weeds that crop up very, very often in the soil. Now, generally what they would do when they were getting ready to plow is they would chop all the weeds off. How many of you have tried that? Just chop all the weeds off. Does that take care of the weeds? Not take care of the weeds at all, does it? Sometimes they would burn the weeds off. You ever seen anybody do that? If you burn the weeds off, does that take care of it? It might every so often, but more often than not, what it does is it just burns off the top, but the roots are still there and available. So with weeds, even if they're chopped and burned off, they're still rooted in the soil, and eventually, as that seed goes into the ground and it begins to germinate and it begins to grow down the roots, the weeds choke off the ability for it to grow and be what it's supposed to be. But finally, Jesus said, there are fertile soil. Some seed falls in the right kind of dirt. It's clean dirt. It's deep dirt. And when it does, when it germinates and when it pops out, it begins to grow roots down. And when the roots get anchored, it gets nourished from all of the things that God has created. And as it gets nourished, then it begins to grow and it pops through the surface. And as it pops through the surface, it gets bigger and bigger. And the great thing is it bears fruit, or it bears a harvest that it was always intended to be. Now, I want you to realize that today, that this is God's will for your life, that you bear fruit for the kingdom of God. It is important, first of all, that we be saved, that we understand our sinfulness, that we understand that we need the forgiveness and the work of Jesus Christ. But after that, it is important to realize, too, that God wants to come in and bring health and life to us. And when he does that, then what will happen is we will begin to bear fruit. How many of you are doing something today for the Lord that you never, ever thought you could ever do in your life? I know I am. I could never, ever have imagined that God could have blessed me or allowed me to make a difference in his kingdom like he has. He has done that simply because through the years I have learned to allow him, through creating in my own life the most receptive soil that I know how to, I've allowed him to come in and grow my life so that I can bear fruit. And so let's look at these windows here. I want you to look real quickly at verse 14, because if you don't get verse 14, all of the rest of the story, which is very easy to understand, really doesn't make sense. Verse 14 says this: the farmer sows the word. Who sows the seed? Not the dirt, right? The dirt can't produce seed. Well, it can, I guess, in some ways, but the dirt can't produce seed. The only one that can get the seed in the dirt is our Heavenly Father. And so when we think about growing in the Spirit of God, the first thing we have to recognize is that God alone can bring spiritual fruit into your life. You can't just try to be a better person. Well, you can, and there's nothing wrong with that. But you can't just try and be a better person. You can't just hope that maybe one day, if you'll just kind of lay low and do this and do that, that somehow fruit will develop in your life. Only God can bring spiritual fruit to your life. He is the sower. And it is only through his work, through Jesus Christ, his word that he has given us as our blueprint to live for him, and it is only by his Holy Spirit that fruit will ever come to your life or come to my life. So, with that recognition, we now have to determine how we are going to have a receptive heart to what only God can do and what he can sow. We are the dirt. One more time. I am the dirt. Seed. Always, each and every day, God is sowing the seed of his word, his life, his priorities, his will, and his purpose. He is sowing it continually into your life. Do you have a receptiveness in your heart towards him? I was walking around in the backyard this week, and it's just now starting to get a little bit of coolness in the air every so often. You're going, Pastor, I didn't feel the cool air. I'm just still hot. But we're starting to get toward the end of summer, and I've been noticing that a few little, I don't really call that a pine cone, but I guess it is. A few of the little pine cones, they've fallen off the tree and they're on the ground. I picked this one up and I realized, again, that this has the potential to be a tree. Isn't that amazing? This little thing right here, this little seed, this little thing has the potential to be a beautiful, beautiful pine tree. And as I was thinking about that, I remembered a few years ago as I was here, I shared with you that our lives have got to have the seed of God, again, planted in the very center of our lives if we're going to grow and if we're going to be what God wants us to be. But what happens if we're not careful, right, is we just fill up our lives all full. And what happens when you fill up your life all full with all the things of life? Some of the things are good. Maybe some of the things are not so good. Maybe some of the things are not good or bad. They're just all of the things that we have to do, the paying of the bills, the working of our lives, the priorities that we have, the good and the bad and all of that. But once you fill your life up completely with that, if it's all filled up, it's really, really hard to get the seed of God in your life. You see, the first thing that any of us has to do is that we have to remember that we've got to let the seed of God get planted firmly in the center of our lives. So that then when we add all the other stuff that has to be there, can you see the seed? You can't, can you? But is it there? And if it's there and the soil is good, the scripture says that it's going to sprout out and it's going to begin to grow, and before long, out through the ground and the dirt, it's going to become little bitty, bitty growths of life, and people are going to see the difference in your life, and you're going to see the difference, and you're going to see, you know, man, I got a long way to go when I look out there, but when I look at where I used to be, when I look at what I used to be, I can see that God's growing something in me and that there are new things in my life. And I just want to encourage you that as God grows those things in your life, his promise is that fruit will be born in your life. So let's look at the soil. How do we make sure we have the soil prepared for God to work in our lives? It's easy to have a hard pan heart in this world, isn't it? I look out and I run into so many people in so many different areas of my life, and I see the hardness of their hearts. And you know, I used to judge hardness. I used to say, why are you act like that? Why can't you, until I realized that sometimes I've had some hardness in my heart. And whenever we have hardness in our hearts, something begins to happen. And that is that the word of God and the voice of God cannot find entrance into our lives. Because every time it tries to speak to us, every time it tries to inject its life into our lives, we're hard and we cannot receive what it is that God has for us. Sometimes it's indifference. Sometimes we're just, you know, I got my life figured out. I know what I'm doing. I want to live my life the way I want to live it. And what we do then is we harden ourselves. And God can't place his life and his purposes and his will, his salvation, his grace and his mercy because we have hardened ourselves. Sometimes it's hurtful things in the past. Is there anyone here who has not had a hurtful experience in their life? We all have. We've all been hurt. We've all had things that have happened to us, things that we don't understand, things that when we look back, we can't make sense of. But if we're not careful, what we say is, you know, I'm never going to let that hurt me again. I'm never going to let that anything hurt me again. I'm not going to let a person hurt me again. I'm not going to let a circumstance hurt me again. I'm not going to let anything hurt me again. But what happens is when we do that, how many of you know that life is about hurt sometimes? A couple of you. Nod your head. How many of you know that life is about being hurt sometimes? And how many of you know sometimes that you get hurt because you take the risk of loving? And you take the risk of doing something that God asked you to do. And sometimes hurt can come in to our lives. You see, when we let hurt build a wall around our lives, then it's going to be hard for God's word and for his voice to be able to speak and create in us what he desires. Sometimes it's hostility and anger. Have you ever been angry about anything? I know you have. You don't have to nod your head. You ever been hostile? I know you have. You don't have to nod your head or deny it, all right? Oh, sometimes anger and hostility can get pumped into our hearts. And at those particular times, if we're not careful, it is hard for the word of God, for the voice of God to speak into our lives. You see, Jesus is telling us that all around us, God is planting his seed. Every day, sometimes I think every moment, God is just, boom, he's just planting his life into you. Every time you read the Bible, every time you have devotions, every time you're at a small group, every time you just drive over to Lake Tahoe like Gail and I, and you just sit at the top of the Emerald Bay Falls. Anybody ever been there and just sat? I could sit there for hours and hours and hours. And sometimes God just plants his life continually into me. Jesus is doing that all the time. That's what he wants to do all the time. But the scripture's telling us here that we can create a hard pan to where he cannot speak to us the way he wants to. And the Word of God, if we're not careful, cannot find entrance. And Satan easily takes it away. Sometimes sin can do that. We are doing something that we know God doesn't want us to do. And for whatever reason, we just feel like we just have to keep doing it. What happens is that creates a hard-panned heart. And when our hard-panned hearts are faced with the seed of Jesus Christ, you know what Satan does to it? He just picks it up. He just picks it apart. He just picks it up. He just picks it up. He picks it up. And it never finds its fullness in our lives. Well, we can also have, the scripture says, a rocky heart. I certainly related to this one. John Wesley said this, our theological father and mentor of the movement that we are in the Church of the Nazarene, says that about being a Christian, 5% is about getting people saved, and 95% is helping them grow to maturity. Because what happens so often is that, like the scripture says here, if our lives never get any deeper than just receiving the salvation and the work of Christ, if we never grow our lives any deeper than that, then what happens is we never set our roots down. And the scripture here tells us that when we don't set our roots down, we hear the word and we receive it with joy, but with no root, we only last a short time when trouble or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. It is important that we realize that not only it is having fertile soil about receiving the word of God, but it is receiving the word of God and letting it be the Lord of our lives. It's allowing the word of God to have sway in your life. You see, you can read the Word of God and not let it change your life. You can listen to the Holy Spirit and recognizing that He's talking to your life and never let it affect the change that He wants to bring. C.S. Lewis said this, there are only two kinds of people, those who say to God, "Thy will be done," and those to whom God says, "Thy will be done." You see, if you want to exercise your will about your life for the rest of your life, God will let you. God will let you live your life, do the things that you want to do. He will let you do that for the rest of your life. But the most important thing is we've got to say to God, I don't want my will. I want yours. I want your word to govern my life. I want your spirit to govern my life. I don't want to live my life according to the way that I think is best. I want to live my life according to the way you have created me and that you can help me live if I will truly make you the Lord of my life. You see, it's easy to have a shallow heart as a Christian where we receive the word and on the top layer there's this wonderful plowing and all of a sudden the word of God comes in and it germinates a little bit and it tries to grow a root down and we say, no, not your will, mine. I won't give that up. I won't give that part up. I won't give that place up. I won't do this. I won't do that. And the minute that we start doing that, then what happens is you never get rooted deeply in the relationship that God wants you to have with Jesus. And so we can have hard pan hearts. We can have rocky hearts. But we can also have thorny hearts. Oh boy, if you don't relate to this one, God can't get to you at all right? Weeds are always with us. How many of you know that? All right? There is no way. You can do everything you can in your yard to pick every weed and throw down weed and feed, and I promise you, in a couple of weeks, a weed will find its way into your yard somehow. Weeds are always with us. But the ones that are not pulled by the roots, the scripture says, will choke out the word of God in your life. And the reason for that is there can only be one Lord. There can only be one Lord of your life. Jesus can never play second fiddle to a relationship. Jesus can't play second fiddle to the things that you own in your life. Jesus cannot be second to anything in our lives. There can only be one Lord. I always loved the statement of the sculptor who was sculpting away, and people were starting to realize, wow, that looks like an elephant. And somebody finally came up to him and said, so how do you begin to sculpt an elephant? What do you do? He says, I just get a big piece of rock and I start chipping away everything that doesn't look like an elephant. That's what God wants to do in your life. There are things in your life that are not like him. There are things in your life that keep you from growing deeper roots, and for those roots to be able to grow up in a way that they don't get choked out by all of the other things that you allow sometimes into your life. Because you see, a cluttered heart will always be a frustrated heart. What does it mean to have a fertile heart? What does it mean to have a heart that can grow? It just means that you've allowed the seeds of God to come into fertile soil that will allow it to grow, break through the surface, and bear the fruit of the kingdom of God. What does that mean? Well, it means that the dirt has to be clean. You have to have your life cleaned by the power and the work of God. It needs to be proper dirt. That means it needs to be dedicated for what it's for, and that is growing the things that God desires. And it needs to be deep dirt so that you can anchor your life right where God desires for it to be. I want to read this quote to you from William Booth, who founded the Salvation Army in London, England. I read it periodically. I read it to remind myself of what it means to be a pastor, but more than that, just what it means to be a Christian. He was asked, what is it? What is your secret to your success in the Salvation Army? And he says, I'll tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than me, men with greater opportunities. But from the day I got the poor of London on my heart, and the vision of what Jesus Christ could do with the poor of London, I made up my mind that God would have all of William Booth that there was. And if there is anything of power in the Salvation Army today, it is because God has had all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all of the influence of my life. The parable of the sower says that you can bear fruit for God. You can be a Christian that lives a victorious life that bears fruit for the kingdom of God. But you are responsible for the soil. You must always keep your soil prepared for the work and the sowing of the Word of God. This morning, as we come together to finish up our worship service today, I know we've gone just a little bit long. We've had a lot of great things that we've talked about today, but I'd like for our worship team to come, and also our pastors and lay pastors who are here. We just want to have a time of prayer this morning, and if you'd like to come to the altar, we'd love to do that. But if you'd like to just have an individual prayer with one of our pastors, our altars and our pastors are here for you this morning to be able to pray with you. And so may the Lord bless you this morning as you come. Heavenly Father, we love you and we praise you. And in these next few moments, as people desire.